You're listening to Master Your Magic, a travel podcast following the wild tales and transformations of some of the greatest adventurers today. Welcome back, everyone, to the Master Your Travel podcast. I have the most amazing human. I don't even know if we can call him a human because he's just a goddess. And I am so excited to introduce Reese. Life is a stage, live it. From stage to the yoga mat, Reese is an experience. He is an RYT 500 yoga instructor and Kirtan leader. Maurice has traveled the United States with Daybreaker events and has led alongside Julianne Howe in LA with LG atop One Freedom Tower in New York City and the streets of Havana, Cuba for their first international retreat. Currently living in Denver, Colorado, Reese teaches at Samadhi, Ohana, and the Clayton Club. Check him out online with Yogi Approved for some amazing classes and content. www.reeserocks.com. I love you, Reese, and your bio, Reese is an experience. I was like, that's the perfect way to describe you. Everyone, I want to hand it over to Reese just so he can say hi and introduce himself. And Reese, take it away.
Yo, yo, what up? You said it great. I am Reese. And I'm so thrilled to be able to share story and thought and heartfelt language and all of it. I love sharing stories with other people. It's very fun.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I think you might be one of my favorite storytellers of all time.
Thank you.
Yeah, we did just like this really short video and you led me through a meditation a while back. And it was, I want for nothing. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
It was really special and really magical. And Reese just has this way about him where he, like, you can visually see exactly where you are throughout the entire story. It's really, really special. So
thank you.
Reese might even share a little meditation or story with us toward the end. So if you stick around, you're going to get a couple of special gifts from him, actually. So we'll save that for the very, very end. But let's dive in.
Sure.
Awesome. So actually, I actually want to tell everyone where Reese and I are recording in the morning, and I like kind of love it because it's a very different vibe than I'm used to recording. And we actually met in Los Angeles, like 6 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he is now currently in Denver, which is my hometown. And so we kind of switched places. Where were you born?
Clearwater, Florida, or Tampa, Trampa, as we say.
I actually didn't know that about you. I did not know you were from Florida. How long did you live there?
21 years.
Oh, okay. And then move straight from there to Denver or straight to LA?
Denver.
Amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little bit of a different vibe from what I hear.
Oh, yeah.
Is it just like super hot in Florida right now?
It's the same temperature that it is in Denver, oddly enough. It's definitely mid-70s to 80s, but it's just humid. So that's where everyone is always in the space that's unbearable, and it's sweaty and it's hot.
And Colorado's cold and crisp and snowy.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
It's so gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I do miss winter in Colorado, but I don't miss the fact that it like happened for like 7 months at a time.
Yeah, it's like 60 degrees outside today, and we're 1st of December, 2nd of December, so.
Yeah, global warming is kind of kind of sketching me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, everybody save your energy. Do what you can. Okay, so my Florida man moved to Denver, and I want to just talk – I'm going to hand it over to you and how you got started in your yoga spiritual journey and also, I think we need to tell everybody what Daybreaker is because we are going to be talking about that a lot. And for those who don't know, it's a pretty special experience that Reese has been a part of.
Sure. Yeah. I began my spiritual experience yoga journey early 20s. So about 16 years ago. And I had moved to Denver from Florida to do musical theater, professional musical theater. And someone invited me to go along to a yoga class. And I was like, yoga? That's so weird. And it was so fun because everyone was just like, as a dancer, it was really nice to be able to express myself and move and also stretch and warm up, and the whole cast would go. So it was bonding. And that just really started to crack me open. And I started wearing malas, and just, I felt this balance between theater and yoga. And they became two very large parts of my life, until later on, I kind of transitioned to just teaching yoga. And that's when Daybreaker came in. Daybreaker is a early morning dance yoga rave that happens all over the world in 27 different cities.
Wow, 27.
And they debuted in Denver 6 years ago, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, maybe a little more. And I got to do an event with 10,000 people, and it was at the Denver Broncos Stadium. And it was just, it was crazy because it happened at 6 a.m. and everyone's doing yoga and then dancing and partying. Like, it's a literal rave, but everyone's sober, or there's no alcohol at that time of day. So you're literally drinking juice and having snacks and treats and feeling all of this joy and serotonin and everything boost without partying in a club. That's kind of their whole MO. That took me everywhere for quite a while.
Daybreaker is so insane. And Reese isn't even telling you guys, he MCs these events. Okay.
Right.
So he is like, he's the one that takes it from like the yoga, and like the flow of it is really special. It's like, you're stretching, it's kind of calm. It's 5 a.m. You're just waking up. You know, the sun hasn't even peeped up yet. And then he slowly builds the vibe to get hype, hype, hype. And then he's like really getting you up and jumping around. And then like you go from doing yoga to like straight up like having a full on dance party, and the sun is rising and people are dressed in like rave costumes. There's like someone on stilts walking around, and Reese is like emceeing this thing the whole time. It's like crazy. So
yeah, one of my favorites was the rooftop of the World Trade Center building. So you're 102 stories in the sky, and it was an LG sponsored event. So it was like 850 people, and you're on the rooftop. Like, you're literally on the top floor in New York City as the sun is rising. And I got to teach yoga that morning as well with Melissa Rennie. She's a aloe yoga teacher, well known in New York City. And taught and then changed costumes and then was the MC for the party. It was incredible.
That's insane. So how many different states have you done with Daybreaker?
Probably 11.
Wow. Which was your favorite? That the New York one?
A lot of the New York ones were my favorite.
Yeah.
There was quite a few in the New York City area. There was one underground club where there was like thousands of LED lights that came, and that was the entire ceiling. There was one that was a huge warehouse, and that was incredible. The top of the World Trade Center building, of course. The New York one's always kind of, that's where it originated. So yeah. there's a different energy to those, which makes them to me a little bit more memorable. I love San Francisco's too. San Francisco's are also pretty larger than life.
They, I'm sure, know how to party. And I mean, even like sober party, all the things, they know how to do it. Yeah. Yeah, I actually was working for Vital Proteins, like, I don't even remember, in 2019. And they were like, do you want to work this event, Daybreaker? And I was like, yes, I've always wanted to go, but I've never even been. So I ended up going, and I worked, but also participated because they wanted us to like dance and do all the things. And it was so, so magical. And I think it was a really special day. The people who started that company, I think they were like passing the wand over, like they were like kind of leaving to go do other things. So it was like a really big like closing event that we had on a rooftop in the morning in Los Angeles.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it was really special. So that's how the spiritual journey got started. And it all kind of makes sense now, because if you've ever taken Reese's class, like, he most likely will sing for you at the end of it. And it's really cool. He brings his guitar, and it does make sense now that you started in musical theater.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And I bet you traveled with that too.
I did. It's what brought me from Florida to Colorado was a show.
Yeah. Oh, so, and then you just never left. You were like, I'm staying.
I loved it. It was the first time I'd seen seasons and snow, and it was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Colorado's got a very special vibe to it for sure. Oh, all right. So then you became a kirtan teacher. Was that your
kirtan,
first?
Yeah.
Kirtan. I should know this, of course. Reese and I have been teaching together for a long time too. We led some teacher trainings at Core Power and all the things. And it was fun leading alongside you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. So that's how we got started with Daybreaker. Do you want to dive into your Cuba story? That's one of the reasons we're here, is we want to talk about Cuba.
Yeah. I was asked pretty last minute to join the cast of the first ever international retreat for Daybreaker. And they were bringing 60 people from all over the world to Cuba, to Havana, to literally do a in-person celebration where they immersed into the city for a few days. And the main number one New York host was unable to go. So like super last minute, I got a phone call, got on a plane 3 days later and went to Cuba. And
so you were more like a character, not emceeing. You were like, what were you playing?
I taught yoga every day. And then I was like the personality. So I was leading us through the streets of Cuba and we're marching a parade. And we like at one point had like flags and we were getting.
You're the conductor.
I was the conductor. And we were this gorgeous, amazing, just like historic hotel in the middle of Havana. And there was events every day and things that we did. We did dance lessons and all of it to be said. I was definitely on a bit of a rise of losing myself in many different ways, traveling and being really busy and working and performing and just everything kind of lended itself to that being where I lost myself even more. You know,
and I went on this. You were teaching a shit ton of classes, like almost to the point of like, how can this person be teaching this much?
I was really burning the candle at both ends.
Right.
And the travel was incredible. And I, before this, really didn't comprehend the idea of travel being opportunity for rest. Like travel to me meant party. Travel to me meant like go wild because this is your time to get away. And my soul had other plans. You know, I really don't remember a lot of the trip. I have a lot of vivid memories, but I was relatively inebriated the whole time.
Oh, shit.
And, you know, walking through the streets of Cuba with bottles of rum and taking shots of tequila with everybody and drinking until 3 a.m., dancing on a piano, smoking cigars, singing Lady Gaga. Like, we partied. Like, we partied hard.
Shit.
And
was that really, like, normal? Because I know Daybreaker is a sober party. So was that normal for, like, after you're kind of off the clock to be doing that, or is that not that normal?
Well, the main thing is like Daybreaker in its birth are burners. They're Burning Man goers, right, and festival creators and curators. So the only reason that the sober dance party happens is because it's at 6 a.m. So
totally.
It really, there is no judgment or sobriety conversation. It's just, this is a party where we don't have drugs and alcohol.
Totally.
So for the most part, yeah. I mean, like, yeah, we did our morning yoga, but then after that, it was business as usual. It was partying and playing and just normal human stuff.
Yeah.
I definitely took it to an extreme just because that's who I am or who I was at the time. And being outside of my comfort zone of home and family, I really had a spiritual awakening. And it was a really intense, let's say, challenge, because my drinking led it to be not good on a professional level. And we had to kind of separate. And I got into a lot of trouble on my own. I was wandering
in Cuba.
I was wandering the streets of Cuba by myself. It was not a good look. And I'm very glad to be safe and alive, because then I got to leave on not really great terms, but okay terms, and I was safe, and I got to come home and then start the next chapter of my life, which literally has been sobriety for 2.5 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that I would have been able to make this shift if I was just living my life in LA or living my life as a yoga teacher or living my life as a performer. I kind of needed to get away and have this wild experience mm-hmm. to then change my mind around who I am and what I can be.
It's almost like the big explosion that happens. After that happens and the dust settles, you can look around and be like, holy crap, like where do I go from here? Like this is now, like things are no longer what they were. There was an explosion that changed everything. The dust has settled and now I need to like start fresh.
Yeah. And that's honestly how a lot of my travel throughout my whole life has been. Paris when I was 30, New York when I was 27. Like they're kind of like a bit of a culmination of progress and then some sort of completion within the travel to then come back and just experience the new version of yourself.
Similar things happened in Paris.
Absolutely. I mean, it was my 30th birthday. I had never taken a trip by myself and I went by myself. Just the actual celebration of being 30. Everything was different after that. It just felt different. There's something to be said when you are courageous enough to take adventure and to go adventure in the world. It changes you.
It does. It does. It's so cool that you chose Paris. Why did you choose that?
I don't know, other than I had a really instinctual soft spot in my heart for it. I love Parisian culture and jazz and romance and just the whole artistic feel of it. I mean, I went to the Louvre, I went to the Moulin Rouge on my birthday and sat in the front row. I stayed in a 6-story flat on the top and just with light candles and danced naked under the moonlight. And
that's so amazing.
It was incredible. I mean, I spent my actual 30th birthday in the Marais, which is the gay district. And I mean, it's like the birth of sex clubs and crazy wild couture culture. And I had a blast. It was super fun.
Also, I also need to tell everyone, I mean, you could probably imagine musical theater, but like Reese is a really, really good dancer. And if you follow him on Instagram, like his drag and his like dance videos, again, you're one of my favorite people to watch dancing, and I've told you that, but that you're just very, very magical. So yeah, dancing naked in the moonlight in Paris, like you got to imagine it's probably pretty good.
it was a memory I'll never forget ever. Mm-hmm. It was so wild. And the travel was not easy. I got really sick the very first day. The power didn't work in my flat, which is why I had to light candles. So there was
my God,
80 tea lights everywhere. It was the middle of August. So it was so hot.
And no, there was so many.
Yeah, there were so many things about it that were really insanely difficult. And I trudge through it. I would look at myself every morning and be like, you're getting up. You are going out and doing this. You're getting out into the world. I don't care how uncomfortable you are. And it's just, there's not that much gumption. If I were to have gotten sick at home, I would just stay. But for whatever reason, the act of being out somewhere, I was unwilling to succumb to my discomforts.
Well, and it's so funny because in a way when you're alone, like you can't, because you're like, I'm just here with me. I have nobody else to bounce this stuff off of. No one else to tell me like to get me going or to make decisions for me. Like I have to do this with me. You can only face yourself when you travel alone.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really cool. Like a lot of people are afraid to travel by themselves or even just go see a movie alone or like do things alone, but yet to take a huge trip alone. It's a pretty big deal.
Yeah. I mean, there's just a luck that happens when you're by yourself. I stumbled into this random piano bar and they saw me wearing like a fedora and they were like, oh, Jason Mraz. And I was like, that's my favorite artist. And I like sang in English a song at this cafe. And then there was this other place in Montmartre and it was called La Panagile. And I just randomly, because there was no itinerary or no one else to tell me where to go, I just went. And it was a $30 ticket, and you go and you sit in this old cottage, and it's six or seven troubadouring old Frenchmen, and they're singing revolutionary, like turn of the century French songs, and everyone's drinking licorice liqueur out of a shot glass. Like, this is wild. It was wild. There
that
was so many.
So you and so magical.
Right. And I don't think I would have ever found it had I not just been wandering by myself.
Totally. Yeah. Wow. Do you speak French?
Je parle un petit peu français. I have a little bit, not a lot.
Okay. Very nice. Je m'appelle Myla. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
I think I can count to 10 in French, but I think that's about it. I don't know any cuss words, though. That I should probably learn.
I think they're all French.
Right. All right. So we veered off course just a little bit, but, well, I guess not. I mean, France and Cuba hand in hand. But what was it about Cuba that was like the final, I guess, this is it. This is like where I need to pivot. How come it wasn't France? How come it was like Cuba was the like the big light bulb?
You know, it's a question I get a lot. And the truthful answer is I don't know. I think it was the perfect storm. Nothing really bad happened. I didn't get hurt. I didn't even lose my job. I still have a great working relationship with them. I didn't hurt anyone else. I was safely able to come home. I wasn't in jail. I didn't break anything. There was like just enough of a disruption that I was able to actively see a finality, a ending to a part of myself that I just knew. I mean, I left Cuba and sat on the beaches of Miami for a day before I came home to LA and just walked the beach for probably 10 hours, like literally did not stop walking. And every time I would like think of like being bored and, okay, I guess I'll just go sit at a bar. I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then I just kind of talked to the ocean and I talked to God and I talked to the water and I talked to the sand. And I talked to myself and I don't know. I just decided, I'm a Leo. You know that. Mm-hmm. Like yes. I am, when I make up my mind, I make up my mind. And it's as literal, simple as that. If I believe in something, I believe in it. And that's where I send my direction.
Honestly though, like there's so many people I've known that have been like, I'm going sober. And then it's just that they don't, or they can't, or I don't know what it is, but it's like, they want to, and they've had the disruption, but they can't like fully commit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I've looked at journals that I've had since I was a teenager, and every, you know, 40 pages, there's a page that's like, I will never drink again. And
oh,
here is why. And so I had plenty. I had tons of shit that I did that was cause for disruption that I wanted to quit. And it wasn't until this moment. And all I can say is that I felt changed forever by being in Cuba, not at my home, locked in my room, trying to figure out how to do this. Like there was something about being there and getting away from it all that when I came back, I was just a different person. Literally, every part of me was different.
I think why I love travel, like the very most, hey, you can't do that. I have a little gray cat who wants to take over this podcast session. Nope, you gotta lay there. Reese got me in the morning time, which is when like kittens are crazy. You know, that's like my favorite thing about travel is like, I recently was just feeling just kind of low. Like 2021 was a weird year for me. Like my dad had just passed away. Like at the very end of 2020, and I was in this really bad car accident. So my car was totaled. And like, so going into like the new year of 2021, I was just like broken inside and out. And I just like, you know, I normally have all these tools, I think, where I feel like I can pull myself out of it. And it's usually like yoga and meditation and breathing and like, you know, doing all these things. But like, that stuff wasn't working. And like, I just couldn't mend like the broken bits of me. And it wasn't until I left for 3 weeks. It was a long enough time that I went to Mexico, and it's almost like I was trying to change my brain in the same environment, but I needed a new environment to change my brain. And then I took the new brain back to my old environment and everything was different. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. And so I totally get what you're saying about that, is that it, like, maybe for you, you know, it had been enough of a moment somewhere else that it was like, you couldn't go home and be the same again.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I literally watched Eat, Pray, Love last night.
I love that movie.
Yeah. It's the same storyline. I watched the best exotic Marigold Hotel, which I strongly recommend as well, about a group of older, British humans who go to this like retirement community-esque hotel in India also. Just been watching travel. I'm leaving for Costa Rica tomorrow. So like, I'm just inspired by other people traveling at the moment. Cause I do, I want to go to this, on this trip, which is another conclusion. I got my 500-hour training this whole year. That's what I spent this year doing.
Congratulations. And I get to,
thank you. And I get to leave and go to Costa Rica to celebrate with the training. So it's very exciting.
That's amazing. So it's a yoga retreat.
It is a yoga retreat, and it's not educational at its forefront. Like, we'll be all together and we were all in training together, and it's with my teacher that I went through the training with, but it's for fun. Like, it is in a yoga resort in the jungle on the beach.
Heck yes. Have you been to Costa Rica yet?
I went to Mexico this year, and that was also another beautiful, incredible trip. But no, I've not been to Costa Rica.
It's really special. Pura Vida, like, they, you know, like, life is pure, and it is, it, you can feel the difference there. It's really, really, the people are different. They're very kind, very, very kind. I did Costa Rica, and I really wanted to just pack it all in, which I don't recommend, but I wanted to see like all of the different parts. And I only had 10 days. So it was kind of one of those trips where, you know, you're going from one thing to the next too quickly. But I did get a glimpse at all of like the, we were in like a surfing town in, I think, Montezuma. And I think we did the, like the zip line over the clouds, and you're in the clouds. And I think that's in Monteverde, but they were both really, really special. Do you know what, are you on the Pacific or the Caribbean?
I'm on the West Coast, and it's Nosara.
I don't know. Yeah. Sounds magical. So you're not near the ocean.
We're right on the ocean.
Cool. Oh, you're going to see some sloths.
I know. I'm excited.
Yeah, they're hanging from the telephone poles and stuff.
Yeah, taking a trip for a friend's 40th birthday and going to Mexico for 10 days earlier this year was just kind of a big choice. It's the first time I've ever really just bought into a group adventure and went. Mm-hmm. We saw three different places in Mexico, and it was just incredible. It was just so awesome. And it was a true test to my sobriety. It was also my 2-year of sobriety anniversary. And so to be with all of my friends who are partiers and drinkers, and to actually have enough courage to go and just see the world from a different directive of, I don't have to utilize substance in order to enjoy everyone's company. I can still be myself. It was really great. It was really great. And
that's
so
amazing.
This Costa Rica trip is just one more adventure that I never thought I would take. I even said it, the whole training, everyone was, you know, maybe, I don't know, out of the 150 people that were in this online training, there's 15 going of the trainees.
Oh, hell yeah.
And so it's like, everyone talked about it, but I'm like, I'm never going to go to that. There's no way I can manage affording a couple $1,000 adventure right before Christmas. I felt like kind of guilty about it. Like, I don't know. But again, one day
you're so good at manifesting.
Yeah. One day I just was like, let's do it. And then I've sold enough mala. So I sold enough malas to pretty much pay for my trip. So that's been a strong manifestation tool. It's like, okay, I want to do this. It's right at the holiday. I'm going to be off work. How can I justify spending thousands of dollars? And it's like, I gotta make it. I literally have to make it come out of the air. And
yes. Yes. Travel is like, it's one of those cheesy quotes, but like, travel is the only thing that makes you richer. And I like honestly believe that when you spend money traveling, it you come back better every single time, every single time. Yeah. That's so cool that you did that. Like, yeah, I've had a couple people when some of the retreats I've hosted in the past that were like, there's no way I could possibly go on this. I want to, but there's no way. But the moment they made the decision to go, it's almost like the universe was like magical, like as much as they possibly could, and got everything situated.
Yeah.
Yeah. The universe is pretty powerful when it comes to, I would say, adventure. You know, the universe wants us to have fun.
I agree.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah. That's what we were talking about yesterday. You were saying that you don't take trips for yourself. You don't allow yourself to go on these like journeys, and it's kind of a new thing for you.
That's, I mean, it's very true. And yeah. I want to get more used to it because I just really love it.
So two questions for you. What would you say to someone who is newly sober that might be struggling with it or might need guidance or inspiration? What would you say to them, maybe even in the sense of traveling, that would be your words to share with that?
Yeah, I feel that substitution of speciality. So when you feel like you are somewhere that everyone's having a drink, or you feel like you need to have a drink, or something that is literally based around alcohol, ask the bartender for their favorite mocktail. They'll almost always have something on hand that's really easy, like a faux margarita or something of the sort. Almost every bar these days will just give you something that's not a Sprite or a ginger ale or a water. Yeah. I find that the increase of your choice to make it special, that is what's helped me, because really celebratory experiences, whether you're using substance or alcohol, it really has to do with the celebration. So yeah, then you start to get inebriated, and that's also fun and exciting and weird and different in all the different ways. But at the inception, it's really that holding of a champagne glass, or the, you know, the shot of espresso instead of a shot of tequila, who knows, whatever it is for you. I do this, this is my go-to. So just making yourself feel special, especially shopping. So I didn't used to shop either. All of my money, I never really had money prior to sobriety. It was like they explain it kind of like a strainer or a shiv, like where you got this like root chakra bowl of yourself, but like everything's just falling through because there's not good enough roots. And so now with sobriety, I have a really solid root chakra. And so now everything kind of grows up, and oh my God, I shop so much. It's ridiculous. I spend so much money.
That's a beautiful way to put it. I've never heard that before, and it makes so much sense. It's like,
yeah.
You don't realize how much money you spend when you're drinking. And it's
when you hear it all the time, and it's hard to like add up the actual money, because it's so much more than that. Mm-hmm. It really is so much more than the moments of just buying the alcohol. It's the late night Uber ride. It's the late night snack. It's the money spent the next morning. It's the money lost. It's the money that you didn't make. It's the money that you lose. It's the money you're not able to save. It's like, so there's so many layers to the financial change that I know I really can't believe it at some times, because money was such a challenge my whole life, and it just isn't right now. And it's, you know, a post-COVID world. And I'm lucky enough to be able to do different things that allow for financial abundance to come my way. But I think it really boils down to noticing things like when I go out and travel, I buy something for myself. And I just never used to think that way. I used to like ration my money because it was, I knew I'd be spending hundreds of dollars on alcohol that night. And I would never go buy myself something for $60. That was, I bought this beautiful bag in Mexico. And I just would have never spent that kind of money on that. But I would quickly spend $60 on two drinks, three drinks.
Right. Yeah.
It's just little things like that. So my biggest advice would be do something special. Special type of a drink. Buy yourself something very simple and just buy it. And just give yourself that positive reinforcement of feeling special. And then, yeah, I mean, on a much more physical level. There's, of course, AA meetings, which is really what shifted everything for me. I didn't stick with the program. It wasn't really my style, being more yogi. I kind of took to my own variations of it, but consistency. So they recommend 90 meetings in 90 days. So doing that, that's what shifted my perspective, because I committed to something and that really helped. So whatever that commitment looks like for you, if it's, you know, logging onto Insight Timer and doing a meditation every day, or logging onto this podcast and listening to another podcast from Myla every day, something that is consistent would be my biggest recommendation.
Yeah, those are all really powerful. And it makes total sense, because, you know, when you're at a bar and you feel like you can't participate in the fun, and you're just having the water, you almost feel like, ah, shit. And it makes you feel a little bit bad, you know? So I totally hear that. I used to go to bars and I would get a soda water, but I would ask them to put like a lime on the end, so it looked like I was holding a drink, just because I had a lot of people that would be like, where's your drink? Why aren't you drinking? Do you want me to get you a drink? Do you want da da da? And I'm just like, no. Like, and if you have it, people don't ask you that question. And so it takes a little bit of that, like, I guess, pressure off, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's actually very smart. I don't usually do mocktails though, but I'm going to start to try them.
Yeah, and I mean, depending on the bar, of course, like if you're at a, you know, normal little gay bar, they're like, we got Sprite. You know, it's just like, cool, put some Sprite and ginger ale together. Let's get wild. Just like something that doesn't necessarily feel like, I like the soda water with the lime trick, and that still doesn't excite you, right? Like something that would excite you is really the key, not just deflect, but excite you. Like this is your life. Like fucking, I'm drinking a mocktail. Let's go. You know, it's very much about you and how you feel.
Yeah. Are you very open about your sobriety? And I guess, do you talk about it a lot on your platforms, and do you share a lot about it with your students and things like that?
I do. Yeah, I do. It really relates to how I'm able to humanize the seat of the teacher. I find no matter what, your students look to you with so much, oh my gosh, this person must have everything figured out. I'll never be as strong as my yoga teacher.
Yes.
And then when I am able to share not only something that I went through that makes me human, but then how I used yoga and meditation and patience and practice to navigate and continue to navigate on a daily basis, not only does it inspire them, but it shows them that they could do that as well. I just created an entire 6 weeks to Move a Habit series, and it's six yoga classes, one a week, and six meditations, one a week. And it talks about everything: habits of the phone, habits of food, habits of coffee, habits that you're trying to break. Specifically, of course, I talk a lot about sobriety in there and substance, and how you can just reprogram the brain through yoga and meditation. So I do, I bring it up a lot.
I love that. And I like want to take this course. I'm a serious coffee addict, and I'm like, I have tried to break this habit, and it's like a part of me doesn't even want to anymore. I'm like, I can't even do it. So I'm just over it, because I enjoy the act of it so much. And then when I'm like in my brain, just like you could do decaf, it's like, I just don't want to. And I'm kind of like, no, you know, even though a lot of the time I do wish I could quit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's just changing the lane.
Yeah.
Samskaras is all about changing the lane. So getting out of getting out of the fast lane and getting into the middle lane. I don't know. You know, whatever analogy you can use, but.
No, I like that. How do people sign up for that course if they're interested? Or I guess, when does it start?
Yeah, it's a new web collective of online communities. It's called Kindness Yoga Collective. And I'll be posting on my socials. It's not up yet. It should be up by end of the year, I'd say. If they want to follow me on Instagram, all my links and stuff are always there. It's a really easy place to see everything I'm up to.
Perfect. I'll link you to this podcast. But before, because I still want to do your meditation, but before we dive into that, I have like last couple of questions to ask you, last couple of things to say. But do you have anything left over about your travel stories, sobriety, and things like that that you want to share? Because you've got a lot going for you and 2 years in, and I don't even know where or what you're going to do in the future, but I know it's going to be something spectacular.
Yeah, I guess two things. One is always dress nice at the airport.
I love this. Why?
Why?
I
find that it allows for you to have a better experience on all levels. Like, sure, be comfortable, but take your comfort in a fashionable direction if you can as well. Mm-hmm. Just because it allows for people to be not, I get upgraded to first class all the time. It allows for people to want to be kind or nice to you and interact with you, especially in a world where we're wearing masks. Yes. I find that it helps to then present yourself in a way that is, I don't know, fun, exciting, different, unique, welcoming really is the key to fashion for me. Like, my fashion welcomes compliments. And I just find that to be a skill in travel, especially.
Absolutely.
And then the other is just on the horizon. I'll lead a yoga retreat in Ireland next summer.
Sign up for that. I'm going to Ireland next year. I didn't know when, and it's to scatter my dad's ashes there. So that could be a really good combo, because I don't know if I'm going by myself. It might be a solo trip. I'm not sure, but when are you doing it?
It would be June.
Okay. I'm going to keep this in mind. I might just go.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Like, I'm actually being very serious. When you said that, I kind of got like sparkles in my chest.
Yeah. I'd love it. When was his birthday?
His birthday is October 7th. He passed away November 2nd, but, I just want to go to, he loved Ireland, where, you know, Ivor's family is very Irish, and he would come back and tell me all these stories of all these places he went. And actually, just, I went to Idaho to visit my brother for Thanksgiving recently, and we went through all his stuff, and I found postcards upon postcards from Ireland. So I was like, I think I'm going to just go where he went. And I don't know if you know the Cliffs of Moher. I don't know if I'm saying that right.
I have no idea.
Crazy, tall, beautiful cliff, but I might scatter his ashes off that.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what was the second thing?
That's it. Just like the excitement of the future of travel, and just feeling that even though I'm anxious to leave the country tomorrow. Like, I can feel it. And it's mainly because I'm excited. Like, I'm worried about all the moving parts and everything that goes along with travel. But for the most part, I'm just excited. So I'm already thinking about the next travel. So I think that's part of it. I think once you pop, the fun don't stop. You know, once you start, once you really start to get into a travel mode, to just keep your sights on the future, keep planning things. Don't ever stop.
Would you ever do an Eat, Pray, Love, like where you like take off for a year and, you know, don't come home? God.
I hate the sound of that, but
why?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know if I want to disappear that much yet, but you never know.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I really like those a lot. I could definitely take advice from the first one. Sometimes I dress like super comfy when I'm at the airport, which is still, I mean, I'm still cute, but like, you know, I don't dress like, Reese can be very like fashionable and fancy sometimes. So I could definitely like take it up a notch. And to piggyback off of that, be kind to people at airports. Like, there's so many times people are stressed at airports. And there was a time, where was I? I was coming back from Colorado, and I was just talking to the woman at the desk before our flight. It was super packed and everything was delayed, but I was just being really nice to her just because, you know, I like to hear people's stories and I just love getting to know people. But then the flight was super delayed, and she was offering like $1,000 vouchers to people. And then people swarmed her desk and were like yelling for the voucher. And she just slipped them to the side and gave them to me. I think just because her and I had been chatting, and like I ended up getting it just for simply like wanting to know who this person was. So it's like, you know, you never know the kind of people you'll meet or the magic that you'll find in airports, because you really can. So I would definitely say dressing nice will open more of those opportunities and doors.
Totally.
Yeah. So I think we will end with your meditation. So I'm going to ask this question first. Reese, what are your magical superpowers?
Being able to project a lot of welcoming joy and exception, and exceptional talent, and just share myself really well so that it makes other people want to either get to know me or feel my energy and not be super deflected by it, or shine themselves. Like I just feel like a lot of my most attractive qualities come out when I'm able to share. And I don't really resist. I don't hold back in a idea of like, oh gosh, no, don't look at me. Like I'm very much like, so I definitely think that's a superpower.
It is.
And then I'd say the other one is just being able to be with people. I feel like people often are able to unload and talk to me about a lot of parts of their life. And I'm able to not only be there and listen, but then offer wealths of advice and knowledge, and however I can just kind of take what they've said and allow it back to them and see what we can do together to change their mind or heart.
I agree with all of those. And I want to piggyback on that again and add, because I know you, I have to say Reese is like a true artiste, and that is one of your superpowers, because I have seen you, it's almost like you, I don't want to say leave your body, but it's just you're in a different spiritual realm when you perform, and it's really special to like witness. So I would say that's also a superpower.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. And then how do my listeners get a hold of you if they want to buy one of your – oh, also tell them about the mala beads, because you haven't even talked about that.
Yeah, so I make specialized malas. So they get a conversation. So that's kind of like my offer is.
Oh, that sound is really nice.
A 20 minute FaceTime communication with me. Mm-hmm. And this is actually for a girl in Ireland.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And she wanted help and assistance with energy in her body. So I put like hematite and carnelian around the back and Dalmatian stone. She really wants to be more active in her life and have just more play. Yes. And so through an energy reading, we chat and we talk about what it is that you're experiencing. And then I create a medicinal pairing of gemstones. And then I give you a video and a picture, and then I can send it to you wherever.
So that's so beautiful.
Yeah, that's my offer to you. If you'd like to reach out on my Instagram is the easiest, just because I'm on it all the time.
And what's your Insta, just so we can put it out there right now?
Yeah, more, M-O-R-E underscore Reese, my name, R-E-A-C-E, like peace, but with an R.
Perfect. So basically, if I was like, I want abundance in travel and like the ocean to be in my future all the time, and beautiful, like amazing spiritual sex and self-love, and just like feeling really clear-headed and just really, really understanding my dharma and my purpose, and really having like the courage to live it fully every single day, you would like be able to make a mala like that.
Yeah, I'd probably use red, tiger's eye, moonstone, rose quartz, and citrine.
Shit. Oh my God, you knew right away. Well, we might need to talk, because like I might need to get myself a Reese gift from you for Christmas for myself.
That's a great
Christmas gift.
I literally have 15 malas that I tied between yesterday and today.
Oh shit. So your fingers must work fast. How long did it take you to make one?
Less than an hour.
Wow, Reese. That's really cool. That's really, really cool. Honestly, I think I'm due for a new mala, because I have some malas. And is it true when a mala breaks, it signifies a ending, or?
It is definitely a understanding that the purpose of the mala in its inception has finished its course. So some sort of lesson was learned, or that moment that it happened was really a break that you're able to pay attention to. Sometimes it really is just like life, like you're moving it around a lot, or you're wrapping it around your wrist, or it's wet, or you pull on it. But for the most part, I mean, I've had malas that I've had for years that have never broke. I have malas that I wore for 6 months and they broke, and I wore them every day, you know?
Yeah, I have a rose quartz one. It was the very first one I ever got. I fell in love with it. Hey, kitten. You might know about this woman because I think she's in Boulder, but she used to make malas, I think, for Core Power. I got the rose quartz one from her, and I used to wear it for every like spiritual thing that I would go through. It was like, you know, my first time doing ayahuasca, my first time traveling by myself. It was just like, I felt like I needed it on my wrist, but it never broke. And I've had it for like probably almost 10 years.
I love rose quartz. It's one of my favorites.
It's powerful. It's like the pure love stone, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit less judgmental of a heart healer than like jade and all of those. Rose quartz is very compassionate, softness.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. Mm-hmm. Okay, beautiful. So let's get your Christmas gifts from Reese, everybody. Get your birthday gifts from Reese and get yourself a self-love gift from Reese, because I feel like it's going to be a powerful next year. So I don't know when people will be listening to this, but probably all throughout the next year. Are you ready?
Yes, please.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Let's, if you want to stay for this Reese meditation, that's what we're going to do next.
Yeah. It won't be very long. It'll take a couple minutes, 5 minutes tops.
Perfect.
Find whatever seat is accessible to you. So I always say you can extend your legs or move your legs or lay against your pillows, up against your bed or a meditation cushion or laying in Shavasana or on your back. Anything, really. Just find any seat where you can wiggle for a moment. So literally wiggle your fingers, wiggle your face, wiggle your jaw, wiggle your toes. Horse lips, or push your lips together and make a little bit of a wiggle in your nose and the bridge of your nose. Just kind of stimulate your external body. And so the way in which to explore space is to travel through the koshic layers of the body. Kosha meaning sheath, kosha meaning layer. And so this external layer for meditation is your physical body. So feel your clothes against your skin. Take an inhale and notice where your breath expands like helium into a balloon. And then exhale, notice where the breath retracts or recedes, like washing the shore and the ocean itself travel in and out. Many different visuals as opportunities as you start to explore this communication of your breath up against your external layer. So it's your second kosha or pranamaya kosha. And really these two are some of the best places to meditate within. So breathe and fill up. Let air push up against your muscle and your skeletal system. Exhale, feel retraction or compression or contraction of muscle and body into breath. We'll do that two times. Inhale, let air expand inside of your body and your fingertips into your nose, into your feet. Exhale, feel breath soften your shoulders or your low back or your glutes, and do actually one more on your own. And then once you've played with these two layers enough, you then begin to relax into one of the lower layers, which is the wisdom body or Vijnanamaya Kosha. And this location of the body is where we can set intentions, where we can create thought, and where you can utilize your intelligently stimulated body to really make a decision, make a choice. And in order to do so, it's helpful to find a location. For me, I recommend seated on top of a green grassy hill with a really peaceful energy of wind or air or water around you. And then find a little peace of mind where you relax your thoughts and you come into this place where you almost can feel soft. Notice a little bit of patience as you practice. We will move out of this comfortable space in just a few moments, but allow for your choice to stay as one of those wisdom nuggets that you stimulated enough of your body and your breath that you're now in this visceral place of choice. You're choosing to stay. You're choosing to let your imagination run free. And so that is wisdom, literally. You're able to be in control of the most beautifully wild part of you, which is your mind, your brain. In this space of soft, creative, luscious you energy, place one simple thought, mantra, mantra, so man meaning mind, tra meaning vehicle, so a vehicle for the mind. We use English just because it's very acceptable and embraceable by your body. And the mantra is, I am. I am. And just kind of say this silently to yourself, almost as if imagining the words. And this repetitive nature of I am begins to bring a wisdom inside of yourself. You carry this with you. Rather than being too much or too little, rather than being stressed or relaxed, rather than being good or bad, I am creates a somatic relaxation at a very deep level of your nervous system. You're not in a sense of critique or judgment or measurement. You're simply in a place of acceptance and embracing everything that is. Not good, not bad, not high, not low, not happy, not sad. You just are. It's a part of you. Everything is a part of you. And this is wisdom, a way in which to comprehend the idea of wisdom. Being with yourself in this space. Inhalation, expand your breath to your external body. Exhalation, relax your physical self into the breath and into the mantra, I am. Inhale, breathe. Exhale, I am. Without definition, just comfort in the simplicity of the space created. You can always return to this in any moment. I often use this meditation when I'm flying on a plane, just so that I can pull out the external distraction and then feel it and then move inward, inward, inward until I'm at a place of meditational stillness. And that mantra, I am, just brings peace. Once you're ready, start to wiggle your fingertips and draw your palms together to touch and rub them together like you're making friction as if to heat them up. And just place your hands flat onto your chest, onto the heart, and repeat the mantra 3 times. I am. Again. I am. Again. I am. And with that, you just kind of bow your head down and take a little moment with yourself. The word namaste just means I see you because I see myself. I love you because I love myself. I know you because I know myself. With this, we say namaste.
Namaste. That was so magical. You know, I think I might cut that out as a separate recording, just so if somebody wants to just access that for like an airplane or needs to calm down before travel, I think that could be a really good, just like quick little way to do it and just to have that available.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Reese. I just appreciate your energy and everything about you. And I just can't wait to see how you expand and shift the world and all your beauty and wonderful things that you are.
Thank you.
God, we should have done that meditation first. I feel so like calm now. We should have had like a just a bliss bomb recording. All right. Is there anything last little bits you want to share?
Live long and prosper. I don't know. Get out there, experience your life, go do stuff.
Be extra. Have fun, adventure. I send you the best, most safe, happy travels for your Costa Rica trip tomorrow.
Thank you.
For sure.